Welcome to episode number 57, Life's Missing Instruction Manual.
This is the Rotated Views Podcast with Jimmy Lee and the crew, giving you life from various perspectives. Welcome to our level. We hope you enjoy the views.
All right, you are now tuned in to the Rotated Views Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Lee Velez. I am here with Goose, Heck, Manny, and Gabe. Guys, we have the entire crew here episode 57 titled Life's Missing Instruction Manual. In this episode, we discuss Joe Vitale's hidden gem, his book titled Life's Missing Instruction Manual. We talk about why, in fact, this resource is indeed the guidebook you should have been given at birth. We hit the topics of listening, parenting, ending arguments, caring for others, and a host of other success principles. We wrap the episode up with two quotes from the author himself, Joe Vitale. All right, so if you're new, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to download and subscribe. We drop a new episode every Tuesday morning for your listening pleasure. And we kick things off with a definition from dictionary.com. And today, we define the word manual. A small book, especially one giving information or instructions, appropriately so, as we are going to feature Joe Vitale's book, again, Life's Missing Instruction Manual. And I read this book years ago, and to this day, some of the concepts and the ideas presented in the book impact me on a daily basis. So I figured it is an actual hidden gem. This was a number one seller for like Walmart when it dropped, which sounds crazy. It was a best-selling book, but it's no one's ever heard of it. It's the strangest thing. So Joe Vitale, if you guys don't know, this guy was featured mainly. People know him for the movie The Secret, which dropped in 2006 or 2007, And he was one of the quote experts on there, and he was talking about obviously, as everyone else was, law of attraction, and his whole thing is expecting miracles, and he's called and named Mr. Fire. So if you hear that, that's who they're also are talking about is Joe Vitale. This guy's like a musician. He does all kinds of things, influencing, people all around the world. He has like 10 like number one sellers, which is so hard to do. But anyway, so I want to feature his book since I believe it's unappreciated on a grander scale. Obviously, people who've read it like it because it's a number one seller. So with that being said, most books have forewords written which basically promote the book to a specific audience in which the person fully backs the project. So I want to read a few quote praises certain people have given this so-called must read. So the first one I want to read was by Steve Seibold. And he says about this book, every man, woman, and child ought to study this book like a scientist. Every high school, college, and graduate ought to include it in their curriculum. Joe Vitale reveals and reminds us of the wisdom it takes to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. I couldn't put this book down. Second one by Wendy Friesen. Brilliant, simple, and profound. If we could all absorb and live by just one of these lessons every day, our lives would truly be abundant. As I read, I realize I needed about 50 copies to give to the people I love and care about. This is truly a unique work of art from the spirit of a beautiful man. Life's Missing Instruction Manual will make you think, feel, and be more curious than ever about what you can create for your life and for those you love.
Nice.
Another one by Jillian Coleman Wheeler. This is the volume that should have come tucked under the pillow in your bassinet. Words of wisdom about life and, yes, about business too. Once again, Joe Vitale speaks directly to those of us who seek success through spirituality. And the last one I want to read is by Craig Perrine. This book is so good, I'm reading it to my sons and they love it too. It's a lifetime of wisdom delivered in a quick, easy-to-digest lessons everyone really should have at birth. And so we always talk about, you know, we're brought into this world without an instruction manual and, you know, your parents are basically clueless to some extent. Obviously, that's like kind of a joke, but for most of us, even if, you know, we prepare for the child. And I know myself, I read books and my wife read books, and our first child was still like, what in the world are we doing? Obviously, we're responsible adults and, you know, we figured it out quickly. You don't really have much time to. But then a lot of it comes as second nature. But I believe there's certain things, and I also believe that there's no right or wrong way, you know, for the most part.
I guess like anything else, you learn hands-on more than anything else.
Yeah, literally. I know, like, changing a diaper, it's like, it took me forever for, like, my first one. Then after a while, man, it was like nothing. You're just like, boom, 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 and you're done. Just like, let's keep it moving.
I'm still changing diapers.
Life is still.
He does it all with one hand now, though.
Yeah. I tie my hands up and I can do it one hand. Eyes closed.
So, what I wanted to do with this book is, in a table of contents, there's what do you call the titles? There's titles and then there's a bunch of subtitles. So there's 8 big titles. So like categories in which all these little, you know, subtitles fall under. And that's basically kind of what I want to do, go through here, is kind of hit those titles and then, you know, us talk about, you know, each one where he's, you know, I guess embracing or highlighting or whatever. So in this top title, titled You, Congratulations on Your Life, one of the subtitles, he says, life doesn't have to be hard. And even just that in itself, we can go off on, you know, a bunch of tangents here. But in that chapter, he says, the secret is to focus on what you want. Do what is before you to make it happen and trust the process. We are here in the Philadelphia region, and the 76ers have a quote, you know, titled, you know, trust the process, because our hardcore fans are constantly questioning what management's doing. And so they came up with this like phrase, trust the process, because you know, we live in a society where we want it results instantly. There's a process that we have to go through. And the process, as we always talk about, is what creates, you know, who we are. It's our end result. That's who we become. That's how we become the better versions of ourselves. So life doesn't have to, you know, be hard. All right. So another portion of this chapter, he says, everything is a projection from inside you. So he says, blame and excuses are easy. They let you avoid responsibility.
Absolutely.
And it's true. Here's the thing. Even tonight there's a lot of randomness happening. But I myself have to take responsibility to, you know, keep things moving, keep things going. And I could have sat around and pouted for an hour, or I could have came up with, you know, topics and material for us to talk about for an hour. So the choice was mine. I really didn't have an hour. But it's one of those things where it's your personality. What are you going to do when you're pushed in a corner? What are you going to do when, life doesn't hand you, you know, the rainbows and stuff? Are you going to come up with excuses? I could have easily came up with excuses, right? Yes. Could have completely canceled everything, said, you know what, we'll figure it out. We'll do it another night. But you know, you have to roll with the punch. Nothing in life, the reason why you have to keep it moving is because nothing's going to be perfect. Nothing is perfect.
Absolutely.
So just rolling with the punches, I actually believe you do come up with a more genuine product anyway. It's less artificial. It's more.
But it is like it. Yeah, you have to be, like you said, roll the punches. This projection is all how you react to situations and kind of keep it flowing, as opposed to, yeah, you can sit back and pout, but you can take a negative situation and make it positive.
So he says, exactly going with what you're saying, he says, so if someone upsets you, look at how you upset yourself, love it, and let it go. As you change your inner self, you will find an outer change. So, and honestly, that really is what it's about. It's, you know, when I see people get bent out of shape for the, like, to me, what now is funny. It was stuff that I, maybe at one point I got upset about too. But you're just like, dude, there's so much more important things, or there's so much, you know, issues in the world that people have it so much harder. That what are you going to do? Like the little problems that I'm not saying our problems are little by any means. I'm just saying, if you start to like reflect and compare your issue, your current issue to like the world issues, you just suck things up and you just keep it moving. You're like, okay, way to put it into perspective.
And always in hindsight, you always look back and see how that was not as big a deal as you thought it was at the moment.
It never is. Whenever it's as big a deal.
Yeah.
When you're going through it, it always seems tough and, you know, this big monumental task and biggest issue in the world. But then after it's all said and done, it's like doing your house. When we did our house, I was like, I'll never do a house. I'll never do another house project, blah, blah, blah. Here you go. You know, fast forward 4 months later, it's like, oh, we could probably do this because you just forget about it. Time, you know.
You learn and expand upon it.
Yeah. Time, you know, heals all wounds and you forget about it and just open up a new one.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So he says, also speaking of, you know, rolling with the punches, getting what you want, people don't realize in this, he's actually talking about the law of attraction, but he's breaking it down so simple that he's teaching the law of attraction without teaching the law of attraction.
Yeah.
So a lot of people hate some people hate buzzwords, I should say. And when they see a buzzword, they're just completely turned off, right? Mm-hmm. Without realizing you could still learn something from that buzzword or whatever. So he says, you know, you get more of what you focus on. Obviously, that's the law of attraction. People without this manual focus on what they don't want, and they get more of it. So he says, you're smarter than that, right? If you want wealth, focus on wealth. If you want health, focus on health. If you want happiness, focus on happiness. It's an overlooked but guaranteed secret of the universe. You get more of what you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself is the most basic form of the law of attraction.
Yeah,
that is, you know, whatever you're putting out. So if you're constantly, so in your, you know, I guess life and your experience and how you're digesting life, I should say, if all your reaction is always defensive, everything life's going to throw at you is going to feel defensive. Like you're kind of like that rat.
Yeah,
you ever meet somebody who's always like a hot mess? Like legit, like a hot mess. I could think of like at Temple, people like literally running into class every day. Every day they're running into class. There's no, it's almost impossible to be late that many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's almost like you're purposely doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask that person, they'll probably point the fingers, right? And say, oh, no, my alarm clock didn't go off. There's no way your alarm clock didn't go off every single day.
Right. Yeah.
It's impossible. Yeah. So then at one point, you have to actually sit back, laugh at yourself, love yourself for it. You're like, you know, I'm funny. But at the same time, you have to accept it that it's like, that's your fault. Like, you have to take responsibility of it. And you can't be the guy or the girl, you know, with like, I always think of this one girl. She always was dropping stuff and running in. Like, she would like run into the room, to the classroom, the lecture hall, whatever, and like pencils would be like flying everywhere. Her makeup was all like all over the place. She looked disheveled at all times. And it was every day. And then there's another girl sitting across from her who's always sick. Like, literally always blowing her nose, always whatever, always missing class because she was sick. Always sick, always sick.
Yeah.
And then you had these other people who were always on time. They always did good. And he's like, you know, what's the difference between all these people? Absolutely nothing. They were all applying and using the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But they were, whatever they were focusing on, they were getting more of.
Hmm. Isn't it more exhausting to, like, come up with an excuse? Because, you, like, seriously, like, emotionally.
That's why they say the truth will set you free.
Yeah, like, emotionally, you're just trying, like, you're beating yourself up because you're making up a lie and you're making yourself feel better. Rather
after
just be like,
while,
yeah.
You run out of excuses.
Yeah.
It's just like, you try and make something up for the next one.
Yeah, and then you're exhausted to try to figure out what the next one is. And then you're just piling on. At that point, you've beaten yourself to a pulp. So much better. Dude, it's over. It's over after that.
It seems like the people who like always constantly make excuses, like the ones who like have to tell everybody what happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have to explain themselves.
Yeah. Feel every single person has to just let it out. Then.
And the story gets grander and grander each time they tell it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's unbelievable.
That's part is like, you know, they're already like saying some bullcrap. You just feed into it because you want to see how far it's actually going to go now. It's like, oh, really?
I get so embarrassed.
I jumped over the moon.
I get so embarrassed. Moon, I can't. I don't even. I say, that's crazy. Good work.
it's just too much.
The worst is when someone's coming up with an excuse or making up a story when you were there.
Yeah.
But they're telling it to someone else. Like, dude, I was there. That definitely didn't happen. All right. So his next title goes Internal Capabilities, Understanding Your Life's Potential. And the first thing he says, which is hilarious, and he says, anything is possible. This always reminds me, every time I hear this reminds me of an argument I got in with a kid when I was in middle school, and we're walking home, and this kid was like saying something that he was going to make varsity or something, and we're like, I'm like, dude, it's impossible. You can't make, we're in middle school, you can't play varsity. And he's like, yeah, I can. He's like, I could do anything. Anything's possible. I was like, anything's possible? He's like, yeah. He's like, and if everyone knows where we grew up, there's like this path that the town is split with the railroad track. So I said, jump over the railroad track right now. He's like, what? I said, anything's possible. Jump over the railroad track. He started arguing with me or whatever. He got mad. He's like, it's not possible, dude. Everything's possible.
Yeah.
That's just a saying.
Yeah.
I was like, you took it literal. And we got in this argument, and I'm kind of mad at myself that I said that. Kind of definitely like shut this kid down. Now that I think about it, but it was like he's still trying to make varsity. At some level, you got to accept reality, and that's what we talk about this all the time. When I got introduced to the personal development industry, I went from one thing to another, 0 to 100 into the optimistic thing, and then I had to get. Life reeled me back down. So now I'm what they call like the optimistic realist.
Yeah.
And so it's like at some level, I'm like, okay, jump over the railroad. You know, it's like, yes, I do believe in miracles. I expect miracles and I want the best thing to happen, but jump over the railroad. So it gives you that perspective, that reality, because it's like, all right, but things still have to get done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but now as an optimist who's a realist, right? At the same time, you now walk up to the tracks and then literally jump over them. Rather than doing it from the path, you walk up to the tracks and then you jump over it. So it's attainable.
Yeah,
just a different way of getting it done.
Yeah,
you do it the more logical way.
Yeah, right.
So all right, so in this same category, this is why this is Life's Missing Instruction Manual, because this guy gives fantastic tips on a lot of stuff. So in this same subtitle called Internal Capabilities, he talks about how to feel better in 1 minute. Life doesn't have to get you down. There's a secret to feeling better, and within 1 minute, here it is. Breathe slowly, deeply, completely, and sigh. Here's how to do it. Take a deep breath, feel your lungs, hold it in for a few seconds, release it with a long, slow sigh of relief. Do it again, and if necessary, repeat. The release of oxygen will help you release any stuck mood, which is hilarious. There's people.
It's fantastic.
There is people out there who've written multiple books on breathing.
Yeah,
it is phenomenal. A lot of
it's fantastic.
What's that?
Sorry.
So apparently we forgot how to breathe the proper way.
Yeah.
We're breathing in a functional way, but it's almost like. It's not that we're doing it wrong, it's that there's a better way. So it's kind of like, it's not that we're not putting gas in our cars, but we can put premium and the engine can operate better, right? At higher speeds, if you have like a turbo engine or whatever, just a higher performance engine. Same thing with if you put synthetic oil in versus regular. It's all kind of the same thing. It's not that you're doing it wrong. It's just that there's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
And so people write these, books on breathing, which is hilarious. But that is basically how to feel better in 1 minute. The release of stress in breathing. And if you are curious at all in any of these topics, I promise you, look up the art of breathing or something like that.
Oh, it's probably,
There's literally there's courses on this.
Dozens of books for that.
My watch tells me to stop and breathe.
Yeah, the watches are getting kind of crazy now. Yeah. I mean, the thing's telling you what to do. It literally tells you go to sleep, wake up.
Sure.
Tells you, your alarm's going off. Tells you when to breathe. Tells me to stand up.
Yeah, stand.
Time to stand.
Literally.
Yeah, you're like, you have immobile in 2 hours.
Yeah. All right, so his next topic is titled External Connections, Caring for Others in Your Life. And this one I kind of did want to go over a little bit more in depth because... we talk about dad life, and one of the chapters says your parents did the best they could. I remember 54, and they say this happens a lot when you hit your 20s. Actually, comedian Bill Burr was just talking about this. He was talking about for some reason you are the accumulation of whatever your parents taught you, and then your little, I guess
your circle of friends.
Yeah, your influences, and then obviously your own thought process.
Yeah.
We're not robots, but majority of people, are that, and growing up, they're frustrated at their parents. They don't like the way their parents are raising them, naturally.
Yeah.
So then at 20, he's saying at 20, he says between 21 and 25, you're the most frustrated human beings walking Earth. Mm-hmm. Because it's you hate the reality of what your parents said is real.
Yeah.
And you hate it to admit it. And then at the same time, you think you know everything. And then it's that the combination of stuff, and then you're, you know, you want to, not most people made it financially or made it or are married or have kids or thought where they're going to be in their mid 20s. Sure. So it's a lot of frustration.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're the angriest people walking this earth. And when he said it, I started cracking up laughing because it's true.
Yeah.
And we start blaming our upbringing, start blaming other people, our jobs, our college, whatever it is. So he says, your parents did the best they could. He goes, I never liked how my father raised me. He was an ex-Marine, drill sergeant, and a formal professional boxer.
Wow.
He treated me like a drafted recruit in World War II. I grew up.
That's great.
I grew up resenting the beatings, the discipline, and the constant terror. A friend of mine in college shocked me when he said, your father could have tossed you in a garbage can when you were a baby. He didn't. He raised you the best way he knew.
Yeah.
So how harsh all that just was.
Yeah.
Facts. Yeah, that is so true. The fact that his dad, it was like saying, I saw like an article about a father basically being a drill sergeant to his son for football. His son's not even like 10. And he has him every day at the school doing all these crazy drills. And he's like, you know, being a going pro, the life of going pro or something like that. And, you know, there's a lot of critics out there, blah, blah, blah. And then people were like, oh, that's horrible. You shouldn't do that to, you know, to a kid. That's too much. You know, you're being too hard on the kid. And then like two comments later, he's like, or he could have been a dad that you guys also complain about who walked away from his kids.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. So it's like, it's never enough for critics, right? They're always going to find something that's, you know, wrong. And whether what he's doing is right or wrong, to me, it doesn't matter. The fact that I always say this, that they're involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the best that they know. Who knows? It might be the best way, but in his mind, he's doing the best he can. Isn't that like good enough?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, obviously not for some people, but
it's always easier to talk on the outside looking in.
Of course. And then, you know, the comment under that was like, who gave any of you commenters or you critics the award of like best parent?
Exactly.
Anyway, which is why we talk about what we talk about. Because it really is. It's so easy to point out other people's flaws.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, so I think the whole point is, like, you know, your parents are doing or did the best they could. Even if you don't like it, even if, like you said, how he says you were completely resent him and you don't think that's how a person should be raised. Well, it's your turn. You can then, you know, shoot your energy in a different direction. But you still, at some level, you have to, you know, that's all they know, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And even, like I said, even if it was terrible, in their minds, they're doing the best that they could.
Yeah.
You can achieve, under this subcategory, he's like, your children will become what they become. So he talks about, you know, not being frustrated with the end result, just knowing that you did your job, or as long as you're doing your job, they're going to be whatever they're going to be anyway. Oh, even if this dad, right, with the little football guy, is pushing this on him, because then somebody says, like, what if the kid asked his dad to do that?
Yeah.
Said, I want to be a professional football player, can you teach me?
Yeah,
you don't know. And then people, of course, are saying, oh, you're just living vicariously through your kid, blah blah blah. But I'm saying, you don't know the whole story.
Exactly.
But anyway,
yeah. Or it's sometimes like the parent that they're teaching their kids stuff that they've never were taught, and they wish that they were taught as a child.
Yeah.
So they're like living stuff that they've never experienced, and they're trying to give that experience to their child.
Right. Yeah, he says, my sister has twins. They were raised in the same environment by the same parents and had the same teachers in the same schools and dated sisters. In spite of that, they are completely different in personalities and goals. Water your children with love and allow them to grow as they choose, and be sure to give them each a copy of this manual. But it's true. It doesn't matter. We've seen it. We've seen brothers. We've seen twins. The same thing. Raised in the same environment. Went to the same school. And their end result was totally different. One could be up. One could be down. Mm-hmm. Both could be up. It's how that person internalizes their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what he's trying to say. You can't... Well, try not to... be frustrated, because the very next title is, you can achieve anything with support. So your kids need that level of support, you know, to some extent. Obviously, you're not going to support your kid if it's, you know, doing something illegal or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, unjustly or whatever.
Even speaking from experience just now, I just finally, like, with baseball and bringing it back to a kid who's 8 years old playing baseball, I get so frustrated, been so frustrated with my son. I finally just like, whatever. Whatever happens, whatever he's going to be, he's supposed to be, whatever.
Yeah.
It was so much more enjoyable to watch the game like that and not be mad that you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. I just watched the game and I was at peace. Yeah. And he was at peace because I was at peace.
Right.
I was just, it was a complete detriment for me trying to help him, and I'll put that in quotes, I was helping him by screaming and, you know, yelling out these instructions because I want him to do so well. And at one point, I was just like, he's going to, whatever, he's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to be what he's going to be. And I can only do as much as I can do. And then from whatever happens in the game or whatever happens for the result, I can't. I did my part.
Right.
And I watched the game so much more peacefully.
Yeah.
And he did great that game. So, you know, I guess there's something to be said there. Yeah, exactly.
Stressing him out. So he's probably not
playing
to his fullest.
Yeah. And I got a Fitbit. I'll tell you, my heart rate's at 110 at all times. Usually my resting heart rate's like 52. I mean, during the game, so I know I'm stressing myself out there.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Like you constantly yelling instructions. He's trying to impress you, or not impress you, but trying to satisfy you.
Yeah, and then the funny thing is you can see him get, like, you can see the stress happen. You know how you say you tense up?
Yeah.
His knees get locked in, his arms get tighter, everything. And I'm looking at it, he was just loose as could be, man, just having a good time. Like, good for you. And so much better for me.
I remember there was like a special on Bob Knight, the college basketball coach. And I'll never forget, there was this one scene where he picks up a chair. He was infamous for like breaking chairs. He picked up a chair, threw it, like kind of threw it / slammed it on the floor. Got up in front of the team and said, "What are you scared of?" And in the back of my mind, I'm like, "You." Like, it's so intense. I can't operate. Like, that would be such a distraction to you. I'm like, dude, you're more of a distract in my mind.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was like I think he had like a winning career.
He's one of the best coaches ever. had a great kind of collegiate career, one of the most winningest coaches. But you had to be a certain type of player to do that.
Right.
You had to thrive in that stressful, like, he made you better, and I'll put that in quotes.
Yeah.
But you had to be that guy. You had to have that mindset. It wasn't built for everybody.
No way. And going on, talking about how you transitioned from being high intensity to just kind of laid back. One of the topics he says is your relationships are for your growth. So a lot of times people say like, oh my gosh, this dude's the worst, or, you know, why am I, you know, I have to be around this person because this is my relative. But they're there for your growth. They're there to teach you patience. You know, a lot of times people say that kids don't have patience, obviously, because they're kids, they want it now, and they just scream, they cry. But at that same moment, it's teaching you patience.
Yeah.
Right? So the way you internalize that is, however you internalize that. He says, patience, forgiveness, tolerance, and compassion. This won't always be easy, but it will always be for your growth.
Yeah, and always like some of the things you complain about other people is stuff like you kind of projecting on that, some of that too.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, if you're complaining about something, if you look in the mirror, you're probably the first culprit.
So we are all here in relationships, right? In this same chapter, he gives a very interesting subtitle, and it goes, how to end an argument. And in that, he says, be the first to say, I'm sorry. And as soon as you say it, the other side will look at you and see if you are sincere. Mm-hmm. If you are, the tension will release. Which is another gem for a lot of reasons. You know, putting out the fire is like, woo! And he said, something like, I'm going to butcher this quote or this saying, whatever. It's like holding a grudge against somebody is like holding a piece of coal in your hand and never throwing it. That other person doesn't even know you're mad at them. You know, when you're holding like a grudge, or even if they do, they don't realize how intense it is.
Yeah.
And to what level. It's like holding a piece of, a hot coal in your hand and never throwing it.
Yeah.
And if you could put that visually, like, just get rid of it. Just drop it. Literally drop.
Yeah.
Drop it.
Well, but what happens with, all right, I'm sure everybody's been in a situation, but you're in a conversation with somebody, right, and you're upset, and you just say sorry for the sake of killing the tension, knowing that you feel in your heart of hearts that you're right, or you feel that your complaints are valid or your reasoning is valid. How do you deal with that? Because all you're doing is just kind of giving in, isn't it?
Well, no, he says if you're sincere. They're going to look at you if you're sincere. If you're not sincere, then don't say
it. Well, you're sincere in stopping the, okay, I just want to be done with it. I'm just saying, okay, to just shut you up, sincere. You think that sincerity is will bleed through?
That also can sound like
being a smartass.
Yeah, sincerely being an idiot. Because you mean what you're saying. You're like, oh, I'm just going to stop it just to stop it because I'm just sorry. They're going to feel that, is what he's saying. He's like, it's the sincerity of you actually saying, I'm sorry. That's what he's saying, being sincere to. Not so sorry, not just to end an argument. If you're just ending an argument, then yeah, it's going to go. It'll probably go to the next day until you're actually, you feel sorry. Yeah. It's not saying just say I'm sorry just to give in. Sometimes you are right, and sometimes your point needs to be made, I think.
I mean, sometimes, I guess that type of situation, like, yeah, you may just deflate the situation and come back to later when there's calmer minds and all that stuff.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say that's the time to just, like, say sincerely you're sorry, because you're not. I would just say, you know, if that's how you handle it, that's how you handle it. I don't know, because if you're not going to be sincerely sorry, don't say sorry, just like, I don't agree with this at all.
Yeah, but right.
I'm not trying to argue right now, but like,
yeah,
maybe we should just both sit right there and let it ponder, and then we come back to this, because this is like, it's not, I don't agree with you and you don't agree with me. So obviously, you know, whatever. That's really hard.
Agree to disagree.
It's like an agree to disagree, but it's also how you say, right? It's mm-hmm. almost saying like, be quiet, or like, shut up is the good example. Mm. Shut up, whatever. And he just kind of walk away, or just like sincerely, like at a straight, like the guys from 300 yelling, saying shut up, you know, viciously, and like, you know, sweat's coming out. Like, there's a whole difference in, you're saying the same thing, but how you're saying it.
Yeah.
All right. So the next titles from this book, Life's Missing Instruction Manual by Joe Vitale, is titled Troubleshooting, Taking Care of Yourself. He talks about, again, the law of attraction without using. He says, give what you want to receive. You get the results you're supposed to get. Mm-hmm. We always talk about earning respect, or earning your way to the top. And my son's into, what were we just watching? Monster Jam. Yeah. So it's like these monster trucks that are going through ramps, they're racing, and they have this whole freestyle event where they basically do tricks in these big monster trucks. And it's pretty incredible. We went to see one live, and it's one thing, I was told that it was going to be loud, but when you're actually there, it's a whole other level of loud that's like, whoa.
Yeah.
But anyway, so if you guys ever heard of the guy Gravedigger,
yeah.
He has two of his sons are also drivers or whatever, Son of a Digger and Gravedigger the Legend, which I don't think, you know, drives anymore. But the Son of a Digger won this one event, and he literally says, he's like, I know this man behind me paved my way in gold, and I'm taking advantage of every second of it. See, now that's a total different perspective on life, talking about like earning your way. Mm-hmm. He's saying that, but heck, there's people out there who have all the opportunity in the world and don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, you have to respect that, because apparently that's probably like a, you know, like an inside code, like conversation piece amongst the Monster Jam guys. Like, oh yeah, you're only here because your dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he probably heard that so many times that he probably came to like this like comfortable place, like this pace of acceptance. Like, okay, what am I supposed to do? What, I didn't get to choose like my dad to be the greatest, you know, monster truck thing. He gave birth to me. You know what I mean? He created me. I walked into this. It wasn't like I said, God, can you please have my dad be the best monster? He's like, this is what I walked into, but I'm going to take advantage of it too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love doing this. He's been around since he was a kid, and he's literally like one of the best too. But when he said that, I'm like, yes, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's not like a handout to me.
No, it's easier to swallow because it comes with humility. You know what I mean? He's not being brash about it, or feel like he's an elitist of some sort. He's being humble and saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm very fortunate to have this opportunity, and I'm taking advantage of it. That's always easier to swallow than some guy saying, this is what I do. You know, I've been here. I came from nothing. You know what I mean?
Started like, from the bottom.
Or I did this on my own, and they had had the opportunity all, the whole time.
Right. You know, it's easy to hate that guy, you know, and it's easy to love the guy that says, you know, I'm very fortunate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. Yeah,
he still has to prove himself that he's the best.
Right, like, exactly.
Yeah, no, for sure. He also talks about, so this whole thing is talking about taking care of yourself. Do not be afraid. This too shall pass. You know, miracles happen all the time. There's no exceptions. And a few other things like do not strive for perfection. And all these topics that he goes, which obviously this book is clearly a must read, that he goes on to explain it really is taking care of yourself, because it's, you know thyself, understand who you are. How do you react to things? Going back to this, you know, comedian Bill Burr, he says he admittedly has an anger issue. He's like, the smallest things bother me. He's like, you know, he's like, I walk around at a 7 already. You know what I mean? He's like, when there's people who are just so laid back, they're at like a 1 or a 2. He's like, I can understand any guy being at a 3. He's like, but I'm at a 7. Like, that's my starting point. And so he's like, anything, like the way someone like cuts him off in traffic, it will bother him the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's infuriated. He said one time some dude cut him off or something like that, and then said something to him or whatever. And his wife was in the car. He dropped his wife home off, you know, into their house. He gets back in the car and was doing laps around where this guy flipped him off, hoping to see this guy again. Like, that is anger on a whole nother, like, trying to like prove his point. Like, that's like, yeah, that is intense. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's a little whole
insane
nother
as well.
Oh, for sure, a little quarter inch off there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, the point is you know, taking care of yourself. The next book I want to write would be titled From Frustration to Fulfillment. And the whole concept is, we're frustrated, and I was talking about just how we're frustrated, you know, in our mid-20s. We're frustrated because we have a lot of us have false expectations. And when we don't, our results don't come in as we thought they should, that leads to frustration. And a lot of times our false expectations is not realistic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We come up with unrealistic goals for ourselves. Like, by 25, I'm going to be X, Y, and Z. And it's very high and it's very possible. But when it doesn't happen, you're dead mad at yourself.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And again, you're frustrated. You're ticked off at the world. It's unfair. All this stuff. But, you know, realize that this is all the development of you.
Yep.
It's the process, how we talked about earlier, trusting the process. This is making who you are. So then you can, you know, we had Daryl Burks on, you know, last week. We're talking about, you know, making transactions. How do you maintain the next transaction when you know the last one you just had fell through?
Mm.
And then how are you trying to be happy in front of this person?
Mm-hmm.
And to talk about the stock traders who desensitize themselves to a terrible stock trade. That's kind of how you have to be. You just kind of keep it moving. That's part of the process, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you think success is just one straight up, you know, pathway, you're badly mistaken. Mistaking yourself. It's all zigzag. It's all over the place. You go up, down, across. It's all over. It's a big scribble. If you could think of that, that's a path to success. Big scribble all over the place.
Or just any kind of like those, you know, like the business charts. It's always like up and down.
Right.
It's
right.
Never a straight line, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even look at your own EKG.
Yeah, exactly.
See what your heart's doing? It's like boom, 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 up and down, boom. That's life.
Yeah,
literally.
Oh, absolutely.
At its essence. And there's always going to be the up and down. So that's all part of the process. His next title is Optimum Performance, Getting the Best Out of Your Life. And in it, he talks about not to be afraid of asking for help, to change and burn your bridges. Which is kind of interesting, because a lot of people say don't burn your bridges.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you, he says to burn your bridges?
He says to burn your bridges, and I remember one other person saying this and with an explanation. I never forget, I think it was, I know who it was Will Smith, but I think the interview was with Oprah. I'm not sure, it was with Oprah, some like big name like that. Mm. And he says when he burned his bridges is when he became successful.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people talk about the plan B. And the reason why a lot, you know, most people aren't committed to plan A is because they still have a plan B.
Yeah.
They still have that safety net. Mm-hmm. And he's saying when he canceled that, when he burned those bridges and only had a plan B, he was forced to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the concept Joe Vitale is talking about here, to burn your bridges. I know it sounds really weird, but I think they got that saying and kind of twisted it.
Yeah.
Burning your bridges is like really like not destroying relationships.
Yeah.
With other people, because they can, you know, help you somewhere else along the way.
Yeah.
But in their sense, how they took, you know, not burning your bridges is talking about, or burn your bridges is talking about your options in life. He talks about, so optimum performance, obviously getting the best out of life. He says illness is a call from your body. So I heard this before, not just from this book. He said anytime you feel like a level of pain, obviously, your body's trying to tell you something, that you're either you're doing something wrong or something's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same thing with a headache. when we're overly tired and like exhausted, that pain, that pain that you feel, your body's telling you something. Your body's trying to, is constantly communicating to you, mm-hmm. and it's reflecting on what's going on. So obviously, I just laugh at this because we're in allergy season right now. Yeah. And it's like, so what's my body telling me? I'm living in the wrong environment. It's just funny. Anyway, so when you're doing something, you know, there's a bad way to lift things, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. like lift like a heavy box, and there's a right way, you know, they tell you to use your legs when you yeah. lift. And I never understood what that meant when I was a kid until, you know, you get older, because your body's very forgiving when you're younger.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. And then when you get older, you just wake up hurting.
you twist the wrong way and like you pull a hip or something.
My brother Hector, I was doing yard work and I was bent over grabbing like a bulk of leaves to put them in the, you know, those brown, big, large paper bags mm-hmm. or recycle bags. And he ran up to me and scared me. Dude, I started getting muscle spasms on my back. Yeah. Well, thanks. We're going to be out of the gym for another week now. But yeah, just to say, I was just saying that if I was younger, that wouldn't have happened. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I would have gotten scared. Or I would have jumped up or whatever, but it wouldn't have hurt me. Now I was like, oh, man, I went definitely had like the heating pad on that night.
No, you had a commission for like 3 days.
Yeah. Well, we actually didn't work out for an entire week because of my muscle spasms.
There you go.
Anyway, and moving right along here, his next title is Specifications, What You Need to Know About Others. And he says, you know, people respond to flattery. People want to be happy, period. People will pay any amount of money to have their inner states changed. People always act for positive reasons, even if behavior is negative. People want to be recognized. People universally feel deprived. Anyway, so it's this whole concept that what you need to know about others. At the end of the day, everybody wants to be happy.
Sure.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be recognized. I know one tip. I was just talking to somebody at work, and I asked them, I was like, what I'm about to ask you, if I learned a long time ago. So he said, you're really good with names. And I said, well, I actually heard this over 10 years ago. Someone said, what's everyone's favorite word? Right? You remember this? Yeah. What's everyone's favorite word? You're like, oh, I don't know. He's like, their name. He's like, so if you continually say their name or the fact that you remember their name, mm-hmm. they're more inclined to just like you off the bat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you just met somebody and you know their name and you're saying their name, I don't know if you guys noticed, we had a couple guests on who would repeat my name in between everything. That's a perfect Tracy Syfax. Yeah. If you listen to Tracy Syfax episode, listen to that episode. Yeah. He says Jim every other sentence.
Yeah.
It's incredible because I picked up on it right away and I just thought it was hilarious. But it's fantastic. So then you're more inclined, to like that people. People want to be recognized.
Or be remembered.
And he's saying this because not a lot of people tell you that. And a lot of times we mess up relationships based off our own judgments because we think someone's lashing out or acting out and we take offense to it when really they just want to be recognized. They want you to still be their friend, but they're just acting out in a strange way. Mm-hmm. And then you get offended and that whole relationship goes down the whole other direction where it should have been. But if you know this in the beginning, that people just actually genuinely want to be happy, even if they act out in negative ways, they want to be recognized. There was this guy, this whole JFK thing, who really shot JFK or whatever. They're interviewing people of other possibilities of, you know, other than Oswald. Mm-hmm. And they're saying this one guy, all he wanted to do was be remembered. He didn't care if it was good or bad. Hmm. And they're saying that was his motive. Because there's like, well, what's his motive? Like, what's he even getting out of it? He's going to jail, yeah. right? Because he got caught. And he's like, that was it. That was his end result. He didn't care. Is that his name will forever be in the history books alongside of a president. Mm. And so it's like, dude, if people go to that level just to be recognized or remembered, that's on the negative scale.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you know that, you're constantly recognizing people for the good things. I'm not saying like, oh, dude, that's awesome job, you know, robbing that place. You reward them, you know, you compliment them for interesting things. And they say flattery is a good thing, and then some people say flattery is a bad thing. Because they say in flattery, people pick up on that. They're saying, you're just saying that just to...
And you're full just crap.
Okay, and the second to last title is Proper Usage, Defining Your Life's Purpose. So he talks about you can have whatever you want as long as you don't want it, which it is like the craziest thing. Huh. So you ever hear of if you love something, let it go?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, because when you hold something on tight, you're actually creating, it's like a negative energy that you're releasing. It's not a positive one. It's like, yeah, you want it, but all it feels is that you want it. Yeah. To attain anything in life, you have to have the feeling of earned it. So it's, if you just say it's like, oh, I deserve that, I earned it, and it's when you say that, you almost even lean back. I earned it. You're kind of just almost at rest when you say that. When you're saying I want it, you kind of naturally you lean forward. Mm-hmm. You're like your shoulders kind of go, you know, move forward, and you get like that aggressive tone.
You become because you stifle or suffocate the desire for
it. Yes, exactly. You choke it out.
Yeah,
I read an article years ago on that. Probably when I first started my blog. I remember writing a whole piece on we actually choke out the things that we want and never attain them because we're so tense and so stressed about receiving them. And that's all we're giving out is more stress and more tense. He says money is energy, which I think is hilarious, because I watched a documentary on the stock market, and this guy would bring out, he was like the teacher. This dude was like a multimillionaire by the age of 28 from, you know, stock investing or whatever. And he retired at like 28, I mean. So he was a millionaire by like 23 and then went on for 5 years and retired at 28. Wow. Traveled the world for like 4 years and was like, I need to come back. So anyway, so there's a documentary basically following him and his, you know, what he does on a day-to-day basis. And the guy who's like, you know, asking questions, like, what's money mean to you? He's like, well, what's money mean to you? He flipped the question back on the person. He's like, hold on, stay right here. Hang on 1 second. He goes and gets, you know, money. And he puts like a $5, you know, bill on, slaps it on the table. He's like, what is that? He's like, it's $5. He's like, yeah, but what is it to you? What is that? What does it mean to you? He goes, it's a $5 bill. He's like, okay, and what else? He's like, I can get a cup of coffee and a donut. Okay, and he slaps a $10 bill on the table. He's like, what is that? What is it? He's like, it's a $10 bill. He goes, what does it mean to you? He goes, well, you know, I can get it like a decent lunch or whatever. It's 10 bucks. He's like, okay. He slaps down a 20. He goes, what is that? What is it? He's like, whatever. I can get gas. And the guy keeps going. He throws a 50. He throws a 100. Dude, this dude grabs a stack of hundreds and throws it on a table. He goes, what does that mean to you? What is that? And the dude goes, that's a lot. That can pay off debt. That can do da 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 da. He's like, that's the problem with broke people. He's like, you gave so much worth to that piece of paper. I kept asking you, what is it? All it is a piece of paper. You keep giving value to a piece of paper. The value's labeled on it, but you're so concerned about what it means to you. It's just a piece of paper. It doesn't care about you. He's like, you have emotions and feelings invested in that, and it doesn't even have feelings. It's a piece of paper. And he's basically saying, it's an energy. You gave it all this energy, but it was all kind of in negative ways. You pushed it away. You saying, oh, I could pay debt. I could get this stuff. It's already negative. You're already kind of pushing the thing away. Instead of saying, I got it. I know what I can do with that. It's already invested. I'm going to flip it, triple it, whatever you're going to do with it. He's like, I don't have feelings to it. So it comes to me faster. It just wants to, because it doesn't want to be tight. It doesn't want to be, it just wants to be free. And you're bringing so much intensity towards it. You already labeled it with all the stuff you're going to do. The money doesn't care what you're going to do. So he's saying, you know, money is energy. But it was interesting.
It was very interesting.
And so the last title is Assembly Required, Creating Your Future. He says, almost all first steps are awkward. Don't fall back. Anyway, even just that, life is too short. Everything you do will be a success. And all these concepts he's talking about, again, everything happens for a reason. The fact that, you know, that whole first step is awkward thing, I love that, because it's like, it doesn't matter that your first step is awkward. Mm. We are awkward. Laugh at yourself. The positive part is that you actually took a step. Mm-hmm. You know, as one guy we used to know in the business world, he says, somebody asked him, like, oh, what do you think? You're better than me? Because he got like a lot of success, financial success and freedom. And he quit his job and he was like in his 20s or whatever. And the guy's like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, you're walking around and you think you're better than me? He's like, I never once said I was better than anybody. I'm walking around, if you think me walking around with confidence and living a life of excellence, is better than you, then yes. You know what? In fact, I am better than you. Because when you're out there drinking your loser juice, I was out there paving the streets and trying to build my business. When you're staying up late night drinking, I was staying up late night planning and devising a plan to become, you know, have my financial empire built beneath me. So yeah, I am better than you. I thought it was the best answer ever. Obviously, you can only say that to certain people.
Yeah.
That was like amongst guys busting it up or whatever. But it's true, man. But anyway, so that's Life's Missing Instruction Manual. Of course, we chopped it up into, you know, the titles or whatever. But I thought it was a fantastic way to bring in this hidden gem by Joe Vitale. It's a must read. I recommend it to, you know, anybody out there. It doesn't even matter if you're a reader. It's like 100-something pages, and each chapter is like a page long.
Oh, wow.
So is yeah. it pictures?
No, there's no pictures. No. It's a pop-up. It's an instruction manual, not a picture manual. Well, anyway, so I'm going to pull out two quotes from Life's Missing Instruction Manual, as we always end our episode with two quotes, and we wrap them up with Joe Vitale, and he goes, one of them is, "To me, we all come to the human experience to play and have adventures, just as we go to movies and amusement parks." And I love that, because I always say, you know, make life an adventure and have mm-hmm. fun doing it. And the second one is, if you want to fulfill your dreams, whatever they may be, you've got to be willing to burn your ships, and you've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. Mm. As my cousin Manny in in college used to wear a dog tag that said WIT on it, whatever it takes, yes, etched in there with like the Puerto Rican bandera on the other side. It was pretty cool.
Untrue. Wit was right, but the bandera not true.
Life's Missing Instruction Manual. In this episode, we discussed Joe Vitale's hidden gem, his book titled Life's Missing Instruction Manual. We talked about why, in fact, this resource is indeed the guidebook you should have been given at birth. We hit the topics of listening, parenting, ending arguments, and caring for others with a host of other success principles. We wrap the episode up with two quotes from the author himself, Joe Vitale. Thanks again for joining us. Guys, don't forget to visit the website, jimmyleevelez.com. Follow the blog. If you have any inquiries or questions you would like for us to answer on a future episode, just email us at info@jimmyleevelez.com. And on behalf of myself and the rest of the crew, we wish you massive success. And until next time, adios.
The Rotated Views podcast was produced for self-development purposes. Thank you for the love and support. We truly do hope you enjoyed the views.